Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Hillel Presser's here. Hillel is back. Hillel is a member of our Brain Trust now for a long time. He is an attorney that specializes in asset protection, especially for people just like you and me, small business owners. You've heard me talk about this topic many times over the years before, folks, whether just me and you or bringing in experts like Hillel and why it's important to make sure that you're paying attention to the intellectual property that you own. And it comes in a lot of different flavors, a lot of different forms. Hill is also the author of Financial Self-Defense, and he's our good friend. Hillel Presser, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of programming over the years, over the 15 years we've been on the air on small business intellectual property. My first goal, Hill, was to get small business owners to first just actually acknowledge and accept and understand that they not only have intellectual property, but they're creating it, if not every day, if not every week, at least every year. What do you think?
I think you're 100% correct. And, you know, everybody comes to my office, you know, they always have so much more than what they originally think. And what I tell them is, before you can start protecting everything you have from everyone every time, the first thing you need to do is inventory your wealth. You know, and I give out an asset worksheet where they can put down every single possible thing that they own. And a lot of things that are important that they usually forget are the domain names,
right,
the telephone numbers, the intellectual property. And I simply ask the question, you know, let's say you lost your phone number today. Let's say you lost your domain. I mean, that's your entire business.
Right.
So those intellectual property assets are just as important, if not more important, than the cash in the bank or the equipment in the parking lot.
Well, even though you can't convert it into, you can't take that to the grocery store, over time, that is the foundation of your business, and things like what you know about your customers. I mean, you could have acquired some perspectives on how customer profiles behave, what they like, what they want. You could acquire that kind of information that's invaluable to you, and could also be invaluable to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, just think if your competitor got your phone number. Just think if your competitor got your trade secrets on who your exact market is. I mean, knowledge is power these days.
You know, I was telling the audience before you came here, when I was telling them that what we were going to talk about, that you know, most small business owners are not going to be patent holders. Many, you know, you very well may have a rich trademark, and I certainly encourage you to do that, and I encourage you to go for patents. But oftentimes, even people who have intellectual property that they think might be patentable, somebody like you, Hill, might say, you know what, I think you'd be better off to keep this as a trade secret. And beyond that, they have intellectual property that really are trade secrets, even though they may not really know it. Those are the things that I worry about small businesses the most, is not whether they miss a patent opportunity, but whether they don't value a trade secret.
Yeah, and I agree completely with you, and my rationale is that, you know, the guy who invented the chair, you know, his name isn't on every single chair. You know, he might have a patent or a trademark, but you make one slight difference in the way the wood is formed on the bottom, and all of a sudden you have a quote-unquote new product.
Right.
Whether you're a patent, whether you're a trademark, yeah, that's all great, but the most important thing is you need to have your information locked up. You need to make sure that it's safe, not only from, you know, your competitors, but from your employees, because your employee today might be your competitor's employee tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, help the audience understand what your definition of a trade secret is.
You know, a trade secret to me is any knowledge or education that you've gained throughout the years regarding your business or your customer that, if gotten in the wrong hands, you know, i.e. your competitor, can be used not only against you, but to take business away from you.
Mm-hmm. Here's an example that I think would help. If you're a wholesaler and you're in the delivery business, you're delivering goods to customers, and over the years you've determined that a certain day, certain times of the day, certain times of the week, the traffic flows one way better than the other way, and you've arranged your delivery schedule to be more efficient and to be able to serve customers better because you've tracked the traffic patterns, and you know that, and maybe you've even written some of this down. That's a trade secret, isn't it?
Sure, and it can go as far as just when to advertise. You know, if you're doing TV commercials or radio commercials or print commercials, you know, is a Tuesday better than a Monday? Is a Saturday better than a Thursday? Are certain times of the day or stations better than others? Mm-hmm. So again, any information could be considered a trade secret.
So how do we protect that from employees? Because see, we've got key employees in our business, in our wholesale business, for example, and we have to tell them we have to explain to them when they say, "Why are we changing our delivery system?" You know, probably there's some key employees that we say, or maybe they're even the ones who said, "Hey, boss, I've noticed that the traffic is going a certain way on Tuesdays." Maybe they've contributed to this. How do we prevent them from wandering off with our stuff?
Well, first of all, it's got to start from the top. So that means it's got to start from before you even hire the candidate. You know, people can come look great in their interview and hand you a great resume, but who are they really? You know, and so many employers don't take the time, you know, to really do the proper background checks, call the references, and, you know, spend a good hour or two looking into the people they are going to hire. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that for every single person you interview, but certainly if you narrowed it down to one, two, or three candidates, you have to take the time to do that. And there's plenty of businesses out there that for a couple $100, you can hire them, and they will do a true comprehensive background check on the employees.
Well, now that's a good idea to make sure you hire a good person. But the people who I'm going to venture to say that the people who are more likely to steal your trade secrets are the ones who've been with you for a while, and for whatever reason, they got poached by a competitor, or the two of you had a falling out. What do you think?
I totally agree. But once you have those right people hired, you need to appoint people for different areas. You know, if all 10 of your employees know everything, well, then there's nobody to hold accountable. So you need to pick that one employee who might deal with it the most, and you need to make sure that they're the only ones who have the manual or the handbook mm-hmm. with all
they
the
know all the ingredients of the special sauce.
Exactly. And that way, number one, is at least you know who to hold accountable as opposed to everybody pointing the finger. Because when everybody knows...
That's a really good way. That's a really good idea there, folks, is to make sure that you know who you can come back to if something gets out. When we come back after these messages, I'm going to get Hill to tell us how to set this up, how to structure this legally where you can protect your stuff against potential employee leakage. And also, Hill has a special book offer that you're going to love. We're going to talk about it after this break. 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.